This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Hundreds of the people displaced by ex-Typhoon Halong were children in the middle of their school year. More than 100 of the evacuated students are now taking classes in Bethel. Most of the hardest-hit communities are in the Lower Kuskokwim School District. Superintendent Andrew Hannibal Anderson says the district did what it could to situate students in new classrooms as soon as possible.
The schools, of course, have removed immediately any sort of bureaucratic red tape or paperwork that would be any kind of barrier of time in terms of having students being able to get into the schools and into classrooms.
As of October 27th, 117 new students have been enrolled across five Bethel schools. At least another seven students evacuated from hard-hit villages to other YK Delta communities and have enrolled in other schools within the district. But Anderson says those figures are likely to change. It's still early in the process. He says schools provide a form of stability for students navigating a new normal. And though Bethel is very different from the evacuated villages, Anderson says the district has been happy to play a role in keeping some students closer to home.
One can be sure is a challenging transition for students to come into new classrooms, bigger classrooms, many people they don't know. But hopefully they are also experiencing a lot of support, very genuine commitments of support and care, and feeling relatively close to their home territory here in Bethel rather than being so far away as Anchorage or other places.
LKSD started re-enrolling evacuated students early last week. Across its schools, Anderson says the district has moved enrollment for 63 students from Kipnuk, 56 from Quigilingok, and 6 from Nightmute. Anderson says LKSD is working to accommodate each student's unique set of needs.
I mean, we're responding to that with monitoring or, you know, communicating with the schools on where the particular significant increases of numbers occur or needs occur, and then responding to that with supporting those schools with additional staffing. We're still pretty much within the initial early steps in that flow.
Anderson says Bethel schools have pulled out spare furniture from the old Iapun Litnarvik building to accommodate the influx of students. He says they've also been able to find extra tech devices for the new students from additional supplies or moving things around within the district. Anderson says after-school programs and extracurriculars are also open to the new students.
The schools are certainly opening their arms to the new students and doing what they can to make them welcome and to include them.
Anderson says across the district, schools are still figuring out how to accommodate transferred students and help them feel at home. He says there's been talk in Bethel of hosting potlucks or other community events to welcome the new families. Art Lake and his family are among those forced from their homes in the wake of the storm that brought hurricane-force winds, flooding, and destruction to Western Alaska communities. He's been able to stay with family in Anchorage, but every day he visits the Egan Center in downtown Anchorage to check in with friends and relatives from Quigilingok who have been sheltering there. This week, many have been moved to temporary housing. Lake says this will help families focus on their recovery from the disaster. Lake's name in Yuktun is Gita Grituk. He is originally from Hooper Bay, but moved to Quigilingok, where his wife is from. Gita Grituk served as tribal administrator for many years. He's retired now, but years ago made a conscious decision to live in Quigilingok. He says he and his wife wanted to live in a quiet place where the community is close-knit, where the people are strong in their faith and embrace their language and culture. KNBA's Rhonda McBride, along with Peter Twitchell, another former KYUK staffer, sat down with Lake. They met at a restaurant near the Egan Center. After eating a bowl of soup, they settled in to talk about the impact of the disaster. Here is Rhonda's part of the conversation.
I know it's difficult that you're trying to recover from what happened, but maybe we could go back to the night of the storm and you could describe what you saw.
I moved to Quigilingok in 1986, and I've never seen anything like this, never. It got high, but got overly concerned, but this one is different.
What did it feel like when the winds were whipping the village?
Oh, gosh, you wonder if the windows will hold. You wonder if the door will swing right open, even if it's locked and closed. Because some things were hitting the walls and stuff, so you never know. It was quite an adventure.
And that's an understatement, huh?
Yes.
It seems more like a nightmare than an adventure.
It was. It virtual nightmare.
When you looked out the window in the darkness, could you tell that the water was rising?
Oh, my goodness. I tell people I really didn't want to look out the window. One of my kids said, "Hey, Dad, come here, look at the water." I'd never seen the water so high and so fast.
What did it look like?
Well, one of my kids said he looked out his window, and the corner of the house, when the water was rushing by, was foaming and boiling. I guess the boiling is from the strength and the speed of the water going by. I'm not sure. But I couldn't look at it again or let my kids know how it really struck me when I looked at it.
So your house is up on stilts from the ground. How high above ground is your house?
5-7 feet in between them. Have to hold your breath, and thank goodness the house was bolted onto those steel pilings, otherwise it'd be gone.
So did you sleep at all that night?
Yeah, luckily I did.
So when you woke up, you did finally look out the window.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Ooh. Never seen fast water before, and I didn't want to show any reaction for my kids because I knew it would affect them. Try to stay calm and said, yeah, pretty bad out there.
Here you are now in Anchorage, kind of away from all of this, but is it still with you?
Oh, yes. I see it in kids. I see it in people that are here. Sometimes you notice that they're reflecting. Can't help it. Yeah.
It's hard to believe in the course of a night that everything could change, but when you looked out that window, how much had changed?
My goodness, the change was stark, if that's the Gusak word for it. but it was something you didn't expect.
You said that the change was stark in the Gusak language. How does the word stark translate into Yuktun?
I can be like, "Ich lachen die Tachtayutcha, da dim gut napang konstituiert damaskut, don damagalut." Structures, infrastructure, houses, sheds, and things. You look one day, they're all there. You wake up after this storm, nothing, no houses. No sleds, no four-wheeler, no boardwalk. There was nothing. My house stood alone.
What does that mean when you say the house stood alone or the other houses stood alone? For those of us who don't live in your village.
You have your snow machine out there. You have a four-wheeler. You have your septic tank, your water containment systems, your toys where you gather your food and work on them. After that, you look out there and there's nothing, absolutely, just a house on its posts. You know, you work hard all your life. You pay for or work hard for a snow machine, a sled, a four-wheeler, you know, and that may be more than just one in somebody's yard, four or five of them. And you can tell that they're doing okay. They can go out and get food and stuff like that, so we're not too worried about them. But then a storm hits like this, and you look out the window, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, except the house standing on piling.
After all of those years as working as a tribal administrator for Quigilingok, it must have been tough to look out the window and see so much of what you had worked for gone.
It was. I worked really hard trying to help our people, make life easier for them in whatever way I could. You know, boardwalks, fuel tanks, water system, clinic, solid waste sites, stuff like that. Yeah, I know. It's pretty hard, but that doesn't bother me too much because it's the people that would have affected me more. because the infrastructure can change. It can be replaced. People can't. You can't replace people. Infrastructure, it's satisfying knowing that you work so hard and try to do something right, but it will not translate to anything for anyone if there's no one to appreciate it or deal with it or have it. So the thing that is important is our people remain together and stay strong.
That was KNBA's Rhonda McBride talking with Art Lake, a former tribal administrator in Quiquilingok and former president of the Association of Village Council Presidents. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganunchit coming up.